What's up, everyone? This is Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. Today, I thought I'd do something a little bit different and share with you guys all of my failures. It took me 17 tries to make this work. And after just going back and recounting, it's actually 33.
I've spent the last 4 years learning from the most brilliant marketers today. And now I've left my 9-to-5 to take the plunge and build my million-dollar business. The real question is, how will I do it without VC funding or debt, completely from scratch? This podcast is here to give you the answer. Join me and follow along as I learn, apply, and share marketing strategies to grow my online business using only today's best internet sales funnels. My name is Steve Larson, and welcome to Sales Funnel Radio.
Hey guys, I've always been interested in business. I don't know why, but it's just something that I've loved. And it's kind of a passion of mine. There's a lot of things I could go get, dive deeply into and passionate about. But for some reason, sales and selling and working with my hands, I've just always loved that. When I was growing up, my dad had me be the yard manager. And I was, I always say I was the oldest of six. I am the oldest of six. And oldest of six kids. And so I was bestowed the role of yard manager as the oldest. And what that meant was that I was in charge of all the hiring and firing of my siblings. And I had to go and create contracts. I didn't know how to do that. So I went and I wrote a contract. And, you know, my dad was guiding but not doing. And he's like, go look it up on Google. What's a contract? So I wrote the contract. You will agree to weed. So I had to go hire my siblings, right? And make a proposal to my dad of how much money I thought it would cost for us, his children, to run the business, which I thought was very clever. And so I had to write a proposal to him. Dad, I think we can do it for $30 a week, you know, or something like that. And then what I did is I turned back around, and what he had me do was go interview my siblings, as cheesy as that might sound. It was one of the greatest gifts ever. I think I was like 14, 15, 16, 17, like right in that range, right? I had to go interview my siblings and actually have them sign contracts that they will weed this part of the yard, or they're gonna trim and weed whack the backyard in this part during these times, or they're gonna be the one that mows these areas, or does that make sense? And it was really, really cool because it taught me a lot about just the way business flows and how to run it. And so what was cool is that like my siblings would go do their thing after I interviewed them and they signed their contract or whatever, and then my dad wouldn't like pay me until I invoiced them. I didn't know what an invoice was. I thought that was the weirdest, dumbest word on the planet. I was like, what is an invoice? That's stupid. And so I went and I had to learn what an invoice was, and I had to go write an invoice and hand it to him. And then it was like net 30 terms, right? Like a normal business. And so he would come in and they'd pay, and then I'd turn around and pay out to my siblings, and I'd keep like 10 bucks for myself just for setting up the structure. And it was a really, really powerful thing because, eventually every once in a while my siblings, you know, a lot of them were a lot younger. The 17-year difference between me and the youngest. So youngest wasn't even around yet, right? So if they didn't do their part, I had to go in and fix that stuff. So anyways, it was really cool. I took those same principles and I went, and my brother and I, we would go to Walgreens and we would buy these $2.50 laser pointer pens. And then we'd take my mom's labeler and label it for 18 bucks and turn around and go sell these laser pointer pens. We're making hundreds of dollars a day as these high school students until we got in trouble from the staff and the administration almost expelled us. We had to do a bunch of community service for being entrepreneurial. Anyway, another topic. it was fascinating. So like growing up, you know, we lived grew up on the back nine of a public golf course. It wasn't like a super nice golf course, but there's still a golf course there. So being kids, we'd hop the fence, go dive into the ponds, grab all the golf balls, clean them up, and sell them back to the golfers. I mean, we did a lot of stuff like that. And anyway, so what I started doing is like, I've never actually shared with you guys like how it all happened. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to just, hey, story time, you know, share with you all the failures. I thought it was 17. It's actually 33. It was like 17 until I found the internet. Okay. And then when I found the internet, then it was like another 16, 17. That's kind of how it all happened. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to share with you. I was on an interview recently and someone was like, a few people have asked Steven if some of your stories are true. Yeah, they're true. Right. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do. I'm not like, I gotta be careful with the language easier. I'm not pansying around on doing, like, this has been an active pursuit of mine for the majority of my life now. And that's one of the reasons I've, it's done well. So it's always laugh when someone's like, oh, I tried it once, it didn't work. Oh, you tried it once? You tried it once? You tried it 33 times? So anyways, I want to go through and walk through this. And just so you know, like when I say I tried that, yeah, I'm not saying I read a book and like dabbled. Meaning I walked down Main Street trying to sell people, okay? I didn't count something as a try until I actually was actually trying it, right? Like I was actually trying to sell it. I was actually trying to do the thing and make the transactions. I don't believe that reading a book and like dab, that's not trying. Okay, you got to pony up a little bit and actually do the thing. So anyways, the yard business, the pen thing, I'll put that as like number one here. That was like teenage years, you know, so I don't know. I'll put it on here, but it's not like a, anyway. What was cool about though, is I started learning about marketing at that age because I learned how to write flyers and I would go look at flyers. And we'd print them out and chop them up. And then my brother and I would just go run down our streets, just peppering all the doors. And we drummed up a lot of yard business that way. And when he and I were doing like a yard business thing. So anyway, I love working with my hands. Crap, I forgot about others. So anyways, first one's on there. I can say yard biz / pens because I almost got kicked out for that. And there was a bunch more. There was so many. I was always selling something as a teenager. Always selling something. Anyway, that was like up until 2007. So I thought it'd be cool to like actually give some of the timelines behind this too. So you guys know, like I'm telling the truth when I say like this is how much stuff I've tried with this. And it's the reason so much experience has happened. I'm not just drawing on things I learned from things from ClickFunnels. I'm drawing from a huge background before I ever got or heard of ClickFunnels or Russell or anything like that. So I'll pick this up at like 2010. Okay, 2010, I came back from a mission from a church and I got into a lot of stocks and options. And my dad and I went and paid a good chunk of change to learn from the Rich Dad Company, stocks and options. Only to find out that a lot of the things were old. But anyway, you see I'm writing small here for a reason. I'm just going to keep going, okay? The next thing, when the stocks and options thing, the reason why I kind of stopped on that is, number one, I got married. I got distracted, all right? 2011, I got married. And I realized, like, man, you actually really... It was my belief at the time. What you'll start to see in this list is a lot of my relationship with money starting to change throughout this. So the lie that I was believing in the stocks and options thing on why I left it is that you need money to make money and we have no money, so I'm not going to make any money in you know, selling options or anything like that. Right. It's like, anyway, there's ways around it every time. Anyway, so I went and I started getting into real estate. And I first started doing residential. And at the time, I started listening to a guy. His name was Sean Terry. And Sean Terry had this podcast. I can't remember what it was called. Like Flip to Freedom. Flip to Freedom was the name of the podcast. And what was cool is that he was teaching how you could go get a house under contract and then in the closing period, flip the contract for like 10 grand more. And do one or two of those a year. And that's a lot of money. It's way more than money. So that's what I was doing. And so I went and I ended up doing a commercial as well. So it was residential and commercial. I don't know if you guys can even see that. This could be for me mostly to track it. But what I started doing is started putting these road signs up all over the place. And we didn't really have any money, but we spent $300 we basically didn't have. $300 we didn't have to go put up all these road signs. And so I put road signs all over the place. I'm talking tons of them. And I ended up getting a lot of phone calls. And I was like, well, let's go do another campaign. Okay, these are campaigns. This is one. I wasn't using the internet. Okay, same thing as like, I was getting a list of all the people who had passed away and those who had inherited the houses. So it was an inheritee list, okay? And I was writing with my wife at night on legal pieces of paper. We hand wrote hundreds of these letters. And we wrote them so they looked really weird. It was a yellow piece of paper with a red pen. We did the envelope weird. We didn't seal it. We did all sorts of stuff to make sure it was noticed. And between the road signs and between these yellow letters, I got 300 phone calls in a month. And we had only been married like 3 months. And we had already gone through that whole embarrassing part. We were about to go through the crazy part where I found out I was not like able to feed her. And which you all know that story. So yes, it's a real story. And it sucked. Right, so I got 300 phone calls, and what I was trying to do was like take these contracts and flip them in the closing period. So I learned a lot about real estate in that time, and it was awesome. But so I got 7 properties under contract. But what I hadn't learned was how to sell. I didn't know how to sell. And so I lost all of them. Yeah, I lost all of them. And which sucked so bad. Like, oh man, that would have like changed everything. Okay. And it's partly why like I look back and I say like the obstacle's the way. Like the fact that I didn't know how to sell, I realized I didn't know how to sell. But I wasn't ready to give up on the real estate part. I still love real estate. It's something we're actually doing right now, okay? I love real estate. I gotta go faster. Anyway. Oh, between these two right here, that's when I basically ran away from home and did door-to-door sales, doing security in LA for a while. And then I got kicked out of college. Had to wait 4 years. I graduated kind of late for my age. Then I got back into college. So in between that time period right there, it's not a happy part. But anyway, residential commercial. Then we started taking, I found a mentor. This is a really cool mentor. This guy called my road sign and he's like, hey, I know what you're doing. And he started mentoring me. And what he was doing was he was taking, 401ks are terrible, right? So he was like, hey, if you put your 401k into buying a piece of commercial real estate, you'll get way more return. And get paid not just on the, you know, the cash flow, but possibly the appreciation of the property itself. So anyway, we started taking 401 under his wing, not me. Okay, he knew what he was doing. He was a professional. But under his wing, he was teaching me how to take 401ks and invest in massive commercial real estate. And we give a percentage of the property to the person who invested. It was really cool. Anyway, learned a lot about that. I think that's when I started getting into diamonds, and we went and we sourced these really cool diamonds, made sure they weren't blood diamonds, made sure that, you know, but what we were doing is we were building custom rings for people. So they would come in and they would take 3 or 4 pictures of rings they liked. And my buddy and I, super cool guy, we would send these pictures of these rings over to this company, I think in LA. And I think it's called ASICS was the name of the company. And they would send back a wax replica of the custom ring from the 3 or 4 pictures that the person wanted. So we'd show them a wax replica, then they choose the cut, the clarity, and you know, the color. And anyway, we started putting that thing together. And I think we just realized that it would take, we didn't know how to sell. Like that was one of the biggest issues I kept running into. Is like, I need to learn how to sell. It's one of the reasons I chose. I knew I needed door-to-door sales. And I wanted to get good at it in a rough environment. It was around that time when I started learning more about the internet, and I realized that all these ideas I was doing involved the internet. And I started building WordPress websites for people with like specific skills. And so there was an artist website I went and I built. And the thing that sucked is I built a website, which already doesn't sell a lot. And then it was an artist, which usually they don't make a lot of money. So it was a bust, man. Like that, it was the worst thing I've ever built in my life. It was so bad, but it got me on the internet. Okay, it got me on the internet. Obstacles the way. Obstacles the way, right? And so it got me on the internet. And I went and I started filming tons of YouTube videos because I realized the power of content. Okay, and this is around the time I started learning from Pat Flynn. If you guys don't know who Pat Flynn is, I love him. He is the man. I keep trying to interview him on Sales Funnel Radio, and their assistant keeps saying like, okay, we'll see if we have time. And I'm like, come over here. Like, I want you to be on the Sales Funnel Radio so bad. You changed my life. Anyway, so I started learning more about YouTube videos and publishing and content and learning more about what affiliate marketing was. And I was like, this is really cool. And I realized that I didn't know how to sell. And I realized I hadn't learned that there was a difference between sales and marketing yet at this point. And by this time, it was, I was married, but I went in. Okay. That's when I was like, I need to go sell. So what I did is I was like, I need to go do door-to-door sales. And specifically what I was going to do was pest control. I was learning enough from Pat Flynn and the people he was interviewing to realize that there was this world called direct response marketing. And so I learned from somebody, I think it was Frank Kern. This is about around the time I started learning who he was also, but I didn't know that was his name. He was just when he had long hair and he looked like a hippie back in that time, you know? What I learned is in direct response marketing mailers that for every 100 flyers or mailers that you send out, you should get, you know, Out of that, you'll get, you know, 1 to 2 out of 100. So what I did is I was like, well, I'm gonna go recruit a huge sales team for door-to-door sales. So I created my own flyers. I learned how to do that and what copy to put on there. And this is really when I started getting more copywriting. And I spent tons of time between classes canvassing the all the apartments and all the dorm rooms of people on campus. Okay, because when they came to our little meetings, they got under me in the door-to-door sales thing. I got an override commission on all these people I brought in. Okay, and that was one of the things that saved our butt. And I started learning more about how to do those kind. Anyway, my wife was an apartment manager at that time, and we were barely making it. We were both working so hard. It was so intense. Anyway, but we ended up doing door-to-door sales. And that's really when I started getting into the internet, though. As door-to-door sales, I ended up getting distracted, and I started putting ads for our pest control on the internet, and my phone started blowing up. And that's when I first started learning about the power of selling people who were already looking to buy what you're selling. So I don't have to go deal with all those, like, convincing. I'm not in the game of convincing because of that experience. Obstacles the way. Maybe I should name the podcast that. Anyway, that is really when I started getting into Gary Vee. And I listened to the book Crush It, and I started getting into more of his stuff, and realized, like, I needed some more hustle.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
And not that I was lazy before at all, like I was hauling, but I realized I could turn up the spicy a little bit, right? And so I came back from that and I was distracted because I had put stuff on the internet. About halfway through the summer, I was like one of the top sales guys. And then I dropped and plummeted because I started learning about the internet. Anyway, then I came back from that and I got really into eBooks because I realized I wanted some assets to sell and eBooks were nothing to fulfill. So I still listened to Pat Flynn a lot, listened to Gary Vee a lot, and I was like, I need to go sell eBooks. And I wrote the world's worst ebook on the freaking planet. It was so bad. It was so bad, you guys. Like, talk about selling broke people. Because I got kicked out of college and I had to go learn how to learn in order to come back in, I was now getting almost straight A's the whole time, which is pretty cool considering all the other stuff I was doing in between classes, right? Because I learned how to, like, learn faster. And so I was getting almost straight A's. I was like, let me go sell a book to students about how I'm doing all these straight A's, like how to hack the classroom, right? And it was the worst ebook. I think I had 2 sales and one was from my mom. Thank you, Mom. Anyway, that door-to-door sales experience taught me so much. Taught me so much about how sales actually happens, about overcoming objections, and gave me a framework for when I saw .com secrets, I was like, I see what Russell's doing. I didn't know who he was at this time yet, okay? And by this time, this is about 2013. That's when I joined the Army. Okay, and I was in for 4 years. So I've only been out for like, you know, a year and a half. I was in for four and a half years. Anyway, that's when I joined the Army, but it's also when I joined my first MLM. Okay, 2013, right before I left. And the reason that's so significant, and I know that so well, is because I kept trying to sell all these other soldiers because I was excited on joining my MLM. And I had like 10 people who were super excited to go do it. And as soon as we all got out, you know, I never saw anybody again and nothing happened. But we'd be doing push-ups and I'd be selling people. And I'd go to my, it's called, you know, you'll get qualified in your MOS. And AIT is what it's called. And I got in trouble because I kept sneaking in all these finance books in the military because I hated what we were learning. And I was like, anyway, that was crazy. Now, when I got back from, this is when I started learning who like guys like Mike Dillard was and magnetic sponsoring and stuff like that. And the reason that was such a big deal for me is because I started learning more again about how to attract dream customers to me. Then I was, this is only to 2013. I forgot about a lot of that. Anyway. Then I went to, that's when I started getting to more like ClickBank when I came back from that and realizing what affiliate marketing was. And I was diving deep into, a guy, his name is Vic, Strauss, it's something like that. I can't say his last name. It's Vic Strauss. He had a course called High Traffic Academy. And, we were so broke and desperate. The contract I got for the Army was, I picked up someone else's contract because there weren't any slots left because of like a timing issue. And so I hardly got paid anything from the Army. We got insurance from it, and that was about it. So we were still like starving, and it barely covered like our apartment, okay? And so like we could barely eat still, even by this time. And I was just hauling balls, trying to figure out how to like make it happen. It was the greatest gift ever. That none of them worked for a while. You imagine if I was still doing, if the stock and options thing worked, I'd still be doing it. You see what I'm saying? Like I'm obstacles away, baby. All the stuff. Anyway, let me keep going. You guys get the point. But that's when I really started, that's when I learned who Frank Kern was even more so. And really from Frank Kern, that's where I learned, it was like Frank Kern, that's where I learned the soap opera series. And a lot about upsells. I actually learned that from Frank, not Russell. But when I saw Russell teach it, you know, Russell has this gift, this amazing gift to go and teach things that are really complex. So I was learning a lot of great things from Frank. Russell brought us this whole additional level, right? Anyway, Frank Kern, if you watch this, you're the man. I love you. Thanks for responding to me on Instagram, by the way. anyway, so Frank Kern, that's where I learned a lot about that. And what was cool is that that gave me a lot of fuel to go and start doing, again, more ClickBank stuff. I started working. This was like kind of like a hodgepodge time for me. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was just being active. I started working with a health company. I started working with a, that's when I went and I pitched Vivint on a funnel. But I didn't know that's what it was yet. I still had not read .com Secrets at that time. I didn't even know, I hardly knew that Russell Brunson even existed at that time either. I just had done enough to see that I should put a squeeze page in front of an offer. And I learned that from Vic and Frank Kern. Because I started getting into more ClickBank, more affiliate stuff. This is where my first dollar online came in. And that was probably like, I don't know, 2015? There's a lot of time that went on between these. 2014. Wait, it was back from, yeah, so it's 2014. 2014 still. Anyways. That's when I started working for Paul Mitchell. Because I actually started getting pretty good at sending traffic with ClickBank products or like affiliate stuff. My first dollar online ever came on like that, which is so cool, so validating. It was so validating, you guys. If you haven't made your first dollar yet, like just keep pushing until you hit it, because it's like it melts all these false beliefs. That space from $0 to $1 is way more than a dollar. Yeah, oh man, so nice. So anyways, when I got that was huge. Then I went in and that's when I started working for Paul Mitchell, and the college I was going to is BYU Idaho, and they were approached. Paul Mitchell approached them and said, "Hey, we need help." And they were like, "We don't know what these two kids are doing, but go talk to them." and we were driving lots of traffic online. It was awesome. That's one of the reasons I know enough about traffic to hire out someone else to do it, because I learned enough, right? I only want to learn enough to move forward. So anyway, let's see. Okay, this is when, so after Paul Mitchell wouldn't pay us and told us to chalk it up as an internship, that's when I met Colton. And Colton and I went, and what Colton was doing at the time is he had his own smartphone repair store, physical location. And that's what he was doing. And he sold off the business. And I was like, this kid is like one of the only other people. There was like three of us at all college that was even doing what we were learning. And because of that, learning more than what everyone was in the classroom, right? That's always a better classroom than a classroom. Anyway, that's when he and I started doing, he's like, hey man, I just sold my business. Let's go start a smartphone insurance business. So we started, that's the first ClickFunnels funnel I ever built right there. By that time it was 2015, June. That was my first bill to ClickFunnels ever. June, July, August. It was one of those 3 months there. Anyway. And it was a smartphone insurance funnel. And we were broke as a joke still. I did get paid a little bit of money from Paul Mitchell, but it was like $500. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, we were still barely making by. Barely. And it was like tooth and nail the whole time. Which was kind of a blessing because it made me fight way harder than those who had money. They were like, oh, it didn't work. It was nice because I was broke. You know, I don't want that now, but it was nice. Anyway, smartphone insurance funnel. That was the first ClickFunnels funnel I ever built. And it broke even on the ClickFunnels fee. So we had enough customers to break even on it. And after a few months, we stopped doing it because insurance is really hard to make sexy. It's super hard to make sexy. Anyway, but that's when I launched the first Secret MLM Hacks CD. And a lot of you guys, not a lot, but many of you watching this, that's the first time you ever heard of me. It was a free plus shipping funnel that I started hacking off of Russell. And again, this is still in the middle of college, right? And no one bought it for like the first 8 months. A lot of you know the story. And then while no one was buying it, I went off and I started just practicing with ClickFunnels. That was around the time when I launched it that I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, I'm going to be the best funnel builder in the world. Am I? I don't know. And I don't care. But the pursuit of that is what caused the rest of this. Okay. Look how many tries that is before I even get to ClickFunnels. Okay, ClickFunnels started right there. Okay. What was cool about the Paul Mitchell and all this other stuff that was going on this time is that's when I found Jeff Walker. Jeff Walker. And that is when I found Russell Brunson. I was deep into this before I ever found ClickFunnels. And with those two specifically, Jeff Walker and Russell Brunson, that was the key for me to know how to launch the smartphone insurance funnel and then the Secret MLM Hack CD funnel. That was the first one. Yeah, that was the first one. Anyway, that's important because it comes back up really, really soon. Okay, then, because I wanted to keep practicing, we're still broke. I was still dealing with a whole bunch of internal money false beliefs. You know, like that's really when, I remember my wife, she was like, very lovingly, but also forward, she's like, every time somebody asks you what you want to do, you like, you know, well, maybe I'll be an entrepreneur and because, but to give it all away because I want to make some money, but only because it's for this. Like, and I had a lot of money objections I had to overcome. A lot of self-confidence issues. Still very afraid to speak to people. I was getting more opinionated, there's no way I would have. This is when I started filming those videos. Like this is June 2015. January 2015 is when I started filming my yearly goal video. You can see it on YouTube. I got the shaved head because I was in the army and everything. Like, it's a pretty interesting video. Okay, and then every year after that, I started doing that. So it was before I really knew what ClickFunnels was, and that's when I started getting into affiliate marketing. And anyway. Another day. Anyways, just to practice though, I started building some funnels for some other projects. One of them was a charity for, because I went in enlisted in the Army and then I went through ROTC to become an officer. Okay, so what I went through and we had a mud run. It was a charity mud run for what's called the Fisher House. Fisher House is a charity that funds families to fly to whatever hospital a soldier got sent to if they got wounded. So it's for, anyway, so it's a mud run. And with that little funnel, man, we got 650 people to a live mud run. Three news stories on it. It was a huge success. Got me a lot of confidence, which was powerful because that's it was around the same time I was also doing another project. And this was a very key one for me. I had learned enough about how the mechanics of the funnel work from the previous like 3, 4, 5 projects. And there were others in here. These are the major ones. That I was like, okay, I get the funnel thing. Right. And so much of all this stuff in here, my belief was like, it's all about the product. 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 So that's why when I say like, it's not about the product, it's a big deal when I say that, right? So because I'm speaking from experience, I was walking around for these like 2, 3, 4 years, like, what should I sell? What should I sell? What should I sell? What should I sell? It was when I finally got to here, I was like, we need a message. And it was really when I got here, we should make an offer. Right. And I started creating an actual offer in these times right here. I learned that from the man himself, Mr. Russell. OK, that's when I really there was a water ionizer company that I went and built for. Ionizer. And what was cool about the water ionizer company was that was the one where all these principles started clicking. You notice it wasn't when I was reading a book. It's when I was actively in the pursuit of launching something else. All these principles just started like snapping together, right? Because this was by the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, that happened. And guess what happened 3 months later? My first funnel hacking live, okay? Which is where I met the man. What was cool about the water ionizer one is that it worked and I made him some major cashola and it was very validating. And this roadmap, that worked and that worked. And after a while, the Seeker MMX Max one was working because that had been up for a little while. The smartphone insurance one, it worked as well. So I started having these successes. And while they weren't a lot, it was like break even, instead of lose, it was like break even, oh, just making a little bit of money now. This is awesome, right? These two, this one specifically, the water ionizer one, that one was like, that's the one where I started getting like monthly cash flow, totally changed our life, okay? And I was like, oh, geez. This is sick, and it's only like $1,200, $1,200 a month, right? And it was like, but to us, I mean, I was freaking King Kong, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, so that was a really big moment. What's up, guys? Hey, I'm pausing this episode right now only because it's long. So what I wanted to do is break this up from the time that I actually got to ClickFunnels and then the time afterwards. I tried a lot to make this game work. It's one of the reasons I have so much affinity and empathy for those who are actually trying in this game. And all those of you guys who have been in any of the One Funnel Away challenges or into my coaching, you know, I have so much empathy because of the huge list that I'm writing right now. It took me a long time to figure this out. And if I can figure it out, you can definitely figure it out. I mean, I was kicked out of college. I was mercy graduated from high school. You guys can do this game, okay? So I have a lot of empathy, but I don't have a lot of sympathy. And for the exact same reason, I have empathy, meaning I feel with you, because look at the huge list, right? But I don't feel for you, right? I'm not here to feel sorry for you. Your scenarios and where you are right now is a huge gift. But I'm going to pause it right now and we'll do the second part of this entire episode very soon. Hey, if you're like me, you love marketing and sales strategies, right? I have a hunger to learn new marketing and sales strategies all the time. So I recently reached out to 98 marketing experts to ask them how they sell their products. But I decided I wanted to do it in kind of a clever way, and here's what I actually asked them. Your doctor suddenly delivers terrible news. You're diagnosed with an unknown disease. And unless you stop working, in exactly 90 days, you will die. You have a thriving business, an epic cash flow, but now you need to use your marketing know-how to trim it all down and prepare for your final offer. What steps would you take to plan, create, and launch your final offer that will fund the rest of your life? Now, of the 98, only about 30 answered, and I decided that I'd turn my video interviews with them into a cool free virtual summit. If you want to watch the summit for free and see what their final offers would be for the rest of their lives, and how these experts use their skills to keep their offers selling for the long term, and even how they set it up so they have very low management, literally just go to yourfinaloffer.com. That's yourfinaloffer.com and sign up for the free summit now.